This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Good evening. And thank you for joining this special Divisional Playoff Friday edition of ENN. I am Peter Rosenberg. I'm available on Twitter or Instagram at Rosenberg Radio. And I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
I was on 2, then I took it to 10.
I'd also like to say good evening to Don. I don't know if there's anything else there, but I'm going to try and say good evening to Michael yet again.
Oh, did they?
And I'm going to try one more time with Don. Good evening, Don. That one's in the conversation, I believe. Very good stuff. Guys, DJ Lima Hiu has finalized a 6-year $90 million deal, according to our very own Jeff Passan. That deal with the New York Yankees. Contract being finalized as we speak. He finished 3rd in the AL MVP vote. He won the AL batting title, batted .364 during the shortened season. Becoming just the 4th player in Yankee history to lead the majors in that category. Michael, you know who the other 3 are.
That won the batting title?
That's right. Actually, you know what would be more fun for Don? Don, who are the 3 other Yankees to win the batting title?
Well, I would think that Lou Gehrig would have won the batting title.
You'd be right. Anyone know the year? Take a year.
Probably did it in 28.
You fool. 34. He batted .363 and 34. All right, that's one. Lou Gehrig. Who else done?
Mr. Don Mattingly.
That is wrong. This is an interesting topic,
actually. No, it's not wrong. Don Mattingly won the batting title.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Don Mattingly won the batting title.
Really?
Yeah, he beat Dave Winfield on the last day of the season.
Is that right?
So you're saying ESPN got this wrong?
Don Mattingly won the batting title. What more do you want?
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds, the Ravens, against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee. I don't have that listed here. Here's who I do have.
Mickey Mantle won the Triple Crown.
1956. That's right. Batted .353. Where have you gone?
Joe DiMaggio. Our nation turns.
To you to bat .381 in 1939. So,
Mattingly won the batting title in 84.
Well, you know what you should do is send an email to ESPN.
How could they have missed that? I don't understand it.
Come on. Let's.
I mean, that says it right here.
Maybe it's time to let people go.
Well, Don,
you leave
out that...
Donnie Baseball. I mean, his last name is the sport he plays.
And you know Michael gave him that nickname, Peter.
I'm aware of that. Yeah, it's right here in the second paragraph of the article. 4th player in Yankee history. Mantle, Joe D, Gehrig. No mention of Donnie Baseball.
Well, who wrote the article? Because let's get that person in trouble.
It doesn't say the only person it says contributed is Marley Rivera, but she's not giving that stuff. She's giving the information on the actual deal, right?
You sure?
It's by someone named ESPN, so that's the best we can do.
Now, I don't know.
Wow, this is narcomania truly running wild. I don't know if I'm not comfortable.
Well, because it made you look bad. it makes me look bad that I make a guess that's actually correct, and then you tell me I'm wrong.
So you're saying there are repercussions to this?
I don't want anybody to lose their job, but I think somebody can be held accountable.
Can I ask you guys an honest question?
Sure.
How do you feel about the black shirt, gray jacket, sort of burgundy, violet-ish tie? Is it wrong?
No, it's not. It's a little Soprano-ish, but it's nice.
It's not Soprano-ish so much as, like, I expect him to come out as the new host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Well, that's very different. I'm with Don. I feel it feels a little bit like, hey, I'm Tony Betts. I know Tony S. I know Big Tony and Little Tony.
Now, wait a minute. People on Twitter have cleared this up because Paul O'Neill won a batting title, so did Bernie. You said led the major leagues in batting?
Yes.
That's the difference. So
there we go.
Oh.
Thank you, everybody on Twitter. I thought you said just won a batting title.
I may have, but it's becoming – I also might have said – maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I said both. AL batting title becoming the fourth player in Yankees history to lead the majors.
Oh. Because right, Bernie won a batting
That's
title
awesome,
and O'Neill
dude.
In 94.
So that is the difference. We fixed it. No one should be fired except maybe me as per usual. So, guys, we've obviously talked about it throughout the day, and people can listen to the podcast, but, Michael, Yankees fans got to be happy. I mean, the Yankees held their ground. They let DJ go out, look around. They came back 6 years, $90 million, not too bad.
I don't know if the Yankee fans are happy. They were kicking up a storm the last 3 weeks. Just give them what they want. Give them what they want. They'd be great GMs, great businessmen, too.
So you're saying that wouldn't have worked out. What would he have? What do you think he wanted?
I bet you he wanted $25 million
a year. Let me do the math on that. That's more than this.
See, I was told today that his agent wanted $90 million guaranteed when they knew they weren't getting $25 million. And he would have rather probably had $90 million 4 years. But the $90 million guaranteed was the important thing. And the Yankees maneuvered it that, well, let's get the AAV down and let's make it 6 years. Would you mind that? And he said, cool. So it shows you that he did give a lot. He didn't care about the average annual value. He cared about the total, and the total was 90.
Well, when it rains, it pours. It wasn't just enough for the DJ LeMahieu deal to get done. The Jets found themselves a new head coach. It is official, coming off one of the worst seasons in franchise history. They get San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh to be the next head coach of the New York Jets. It is widely being praised. People giving them I think it was Yahoo, gave them an A. People really seem excited about this. He's 41 years old. He interviewed virtually last Friday, became the front runner, as we talked about. Had the second interview on Tuesday. On Thursday, they talked to Arthur Smith from Tennessee. Discussions were had among the Jets brass, and then they made the decision. By the way, Saleh is Lebanese-American. Don't know what sort of history that represents in the NFL. Actually, there's some history currently in terms of minority coaches in general. He joins Brian Flores, Mike Tomlin, and Ron Rivera as the active minority head coaches in the league. I'm going to be honest, guys. That's a horrifying stat. That is
and
not
you keep
impressive.
Hearing rumors that... doesn't look like Bieniemy is getting one of these jobs.
And
you know
problem.
What? I don't look at color with that. He gets the interviews. Maybe he doesn't interview well.
Here's exactly what the problem is, Michael. Maybe Bieniemy is not the guy. The problem is, why is he the only black guy we've been talking about to get a job for 2 years? That's the problem. Who else is there to... The problem is, are there not any other black coaches being talked about as a reasonable option? Because you're right, maybe Bieniemy's not the dude. He's gotten lots of interviews.
But you know what Bieniemy's problem is, and I think it's an NFL problem as well, is you clearly see these teams want to get their coaches right away. They don't want to waste any time.
You can't interview him again until after they lose, and they
right.
might win the Super Bowl.
So now you've got to wait until February if they go to the Super Bowl, right? And they went to the Super Bowl last year, and I think that burned them, and they've got a good chance of going to the Super Bowl this year. And – Look, you're seeing it. The Lions are going to hire their guy probably this weekend. Atlanta's got their guy. Jets got their guy last night. Nobody wants to wait until February, not with the draft in May, not with all the work that's got to get done during the offseason. I think that's the biggest problem with Bieniemy, because Kansas City, if they win this weekend, that's their third straight championship game. So that takes you deep into January. We haven't even gotten into the divisional round, and teams are already hiring guys. So what do you do about that, Michael? Do you say the teams can't hire any coaches or interview coaches until after the season is over so that everybody gets a fair shake? Because it's not – you can understand teams wanting to get their ducks in a row early, but that's not fair to Bieniemy. He's on a really good team, and nobody wants to wait till February to talk to him.
Well, that was always my solution, but people would cheat. People just – they want to get their work done. They don't want to be scooped by other teams, so – I think the fair thing would be you can't interview for jobs until after the Super Bowl, but I don't think that would ever happen because people would cheat.
Now, Don, do you want to tell us about the celebrity text you received earlier about the Jets' decision?
Yeah, I was a little taken aback by it, but if you remember when Peter and Michael were away during the holiday, I worked three days leading into Christmas, and we had Q-Tip on.
Mm-hmm. That's of A Tribe Called Quest fan. Maybe the greatest rap group in history. Yeah.
And he reached out to me today. Very excited about the hire. And I wanted to put him in my phone. And I just felt odd. I never had to put Q-Tip in my phone, but I wanted to save it because I'd like to continue the dialogue.
Well, he texted me this morning and said, I need to talk to my dude, Don.
I think we hit it off.
I just didn't hesitate, obviously. I just shared contact. What did he say?
He's my friend.
I think you could tell us.
He said, Don, it's Q-Tip. We got our guy, bud. They didn't screw it up. Culture, pedigree, intelligence, fire. I hope we can move Sam and bring in Zach Wilson. He would be unbelievable with LaFleur, and he has way more energy and leadership qualities than Sam. J-E-T-S, Jets. God bless you, pal. Let's go.
Yeah, my favorite thing about this, okay? Q-Tip was literally like my hero as a child. As a teenager, I love him. Tribe Called Quest it's very hard for me to ever say my favorite thing of anything, but Tribe Called Quest is my favorite music group ever, right? Gotten to know him over the last 10, 15 years. He is like, and he's one of the few legends I admired who has become a friend. That said, though, I still think of him as artsy and weird. I mean, his nickname is The Abstract. Right? Because he's sort of an abstract, artsy-fartsy guy. Fife Dog, God rest his soul, was the sports jersey-wearing, sports-referencing guy, not Q-Tip. And it's not like he's just some fan. I mean, this is, with Don, when you hear the way he's talking, that's highest-level Jets nerd talk.
Hey, listen, when we had him on, he wasn't talking like your typical celebrity, I want them to do well. He knows the team. And I'm thrilled to now have him in my life.
Well, can I make one comment about this?
Okay, go ahead.
I just Googled him, images.
Yeah.
He's drop dead handsome.
Wow. You're impressed.
Be in movies.
Well, he's been in movies.
I mean, he should be on the level of a leading man.
Wow.
He's very handsome dude.
He was in Poetic Justice, where he got to have a really great makeout scene with Janet Jackson. Unfortunately,
that's worth acting.
I know. I mean, unfortunately. By the way, here's what's hilarious. You just searched the name Q-Tip because I was curious to what you were looking at. Here's what pops up on your Google: Q-Tip, musician, Wikipedia. Next one, Cotton Swab, Wikipedia.
Well, he's better looking than a Cotton Swab.
100%. And truly, some of the greatest music ever made. So, anyways, thanks for the input there, Q-Tip. I'm glad he's
I would really like
well.
To be Q-Tip's, go-to dude, too, but I guess I can't.
You're not a Jets fan, Michael. I mean, Don was so entrenched with the Jets for so long. Now, here's the thing, though. Don, does he know that you're actually a Giants fan first?
I don't know if that ever came up. It didn't come up in conversation when we talked to him.
Because, Michael, I think what's happening here is a bond starting over the Jets fanship.
Yeah, it's a bond. It's a Fugazi bond.
That's wow.
I never claimed to be anything other than.
But you don't want to go out. But let me tell. But you don't want to go out and tell him, do you?
I mean,
you don't want to write him back and go, just so you know, I'm not a Jets fan. I'm a Giants fan. I just know a lot about the Jets and I care.
Dear God.
We'll have to watch this play out. Yeah.
Now I got to try to get Rob Halford to start texting you, the lead singer of Judas Priest. Now that would go full circle. The guy that almost got me fired here at the radio station because I had the audacity to put him on the air.
All right. You know what it's time for?
Can I tell you one thing about Butter, my little golden retriever?
That sentence before the golden retriever part. I thought you were going to tell me about how delicious it is. Go ahead.
No. So the doors to my office are closed, and you're at they kind of snap closed. They're two doors, and she is so intent on getting in, she just bashes her head against the door and opens the door and comes in.
And you have her right now.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I think she should meet Bear. Bear.
Stop. This is like Lady and the Tramp.
Come here, bud. Come here. Come here.
Oh, by the way, the Jason Stark of The Athletic reporting the Phillies have made a 5-year, 9-figure offer to JT Realmuto. So that's about $20 million a year.
Realmuto, I love this guy.
Supposedly, at the beginning, was looking to get $40 million a year.
Bear, that's Butter. It's an awkward position here. I have to hold him, man. Not exactly comfortable for him.
Butter, that's Bear.
You see? I know you're not a fan of the dog as a species. I got to tell you, if Bear was like around in 1940s Germany, he's pointing out other dogs. He's going, excuse me, see that one? There's a golden retriever right behind the clock.
Oh, what a nice dog you have there.
Look at that. All right, sorry, I got to move on. Andrew just yelled at me for us having a dog show and tell on the radio. It's time for your divisional NFL playoff weekend announcer lineup. Woo! I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. We have a slate this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, of four. That's right, four big playoff games. I don't know if you're aware, but the winners of these games, they will go on, guys, wait for it, to the conference championships. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. All right. Everybody hears.
Right.
Even
so,
without a speaker.
We have a Saturday. We have a Sunday lineup. We'll start on Saturday. The Los Angeles Rams against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Kickoff coming at 4:35 from a frosty, crispy, cold, desolate Lambeau Field.
How could something be frosty and crispy?
The frost creates a crisp on the grass.
Well, I would want my frosted flakes to still be crispy when I ate them, right?
Thank you, Don. The call on Fox from Kevin Burkhart.
Keith, these are definitely not pumpkins.
Daryl Moose Johnston. Pam Olivier. And, of course, Christina Pink. That takes us to 8:15. The Baltimore Ravens, led by Lamar, don't call him a playoff failure, Jackson, against Josh Allen and the table-smashing, beer-swigging, lunatic fringe Buffalo Bills, 8:15 p.m., your cold kickoff in Buffalo. The game on NBC and, of course, led by the gambling man, Al Michaels.
He did what?
Joined by his trusty sidekick, former Falcons wide receiver, Chris Collinsworth.
Here's a guy.
Thank
Falcons
you.
Wide receiver? What is wrong with you?
Was
Bengals.
He? Bengals? He wasn't also on the Falcons?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'd like someone to look that up. And lastly, former high school field hockey standout, Michelle Tafoya. I had made up the field hockey part. Sunday, we get a 3:05 Eastern.
Peter, apologies are in order.
Go ahead.
He was
Hold on. I'll need different music, please,
Anthony.
He was
never a Falcon.
Sorry. He was what?
Never a Falcon. Ever.
Who did he play for?
He played for the Bengals.
No. Anyone else?
No. He's a Bengal. I meant you need to apologize.
Right. I didn't realize that's where we were going here. That's disappointing. It's in a word, troubling. I am sorry. Chris Collinsworth. Obviously, I was young when he played, but for some reason, I made up in my head that he spent some time at the end of his career on the Falcons.
Same amount of letters. Don't worry about it. Go on to your next game.
But no, his entire career was in Cincinnati. Every single snap. He didn't play, not even a practice squad.
Played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, sure he did.
Yeah.
All right. I apologize.
Get back to the pumped up music, Anthony.
No, here we go. Here we go. Sunday, 3:05. You have time to wake up. You have time to get some brunch. If you have children, time to do some sort of activity, whatever it may be. Put them down for a nap around 3, because we'll start in Kansas City, where the Cleveland Browns are coming to town. That's right. Baker Mayfield has left his home at the stadium. Hopefully he remembered his wallet and his keys. And the game on CBS, and it's led by Jim Nance.
Hello, friends.
Joined, of course, by the $19 million man, Anthony Romo.
Never touched him. That's a catch.
Is he Tracy, home or is he going to be there?
He'll be there. He will be in person, Don. Good question. Tracy Wolfson on the sideline. And that takes us to the main event. Let's get ready for football. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Father Time, a.k.a. Tampa Bay, a.k.a. Don't call me Belichick's son anymore. I'm on my own. Tom Brady leading the Bucs against their divisional rival. Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Tayshaun Hall, and the New Orleans Saints. 6:40 p.m., the kickoff from the Superdome in New Orleans. And the game is on Fox. Of course, the lead man on the call, well, that would be Joe Buck.
You should be eating salad, you fat little jerk.
Joined by one of the most underrated, one of the best to ever do it in the broadcast booth, in my opinion. I know a lot of people criticize him. I enjoy him. That's right, Mr. Troy Aikman. On the sidelines, Aaron Andrews, and fresh from ESPN, his second event with Fox, Tom Rinaldi.
Great job last week.
I enjoyed it. And I got to tell you, you know, a lot of my experience with Rinaldi was the U.S. Open, and I found the interviews to be, I found his interview style to be unusual, but I really enjoyed his hits during his Fox debut. That is your lineup for this coming weekend.
That was terrific.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll close it out with this, guys, because we want to be able to take more calls, talk a little more DJ LeMayu, talk a little more new head coach for the Jets. But we got to mention Kyrie Irving.
I got an ice pick, too. I got an ice pick.
Oh, you got an ice pick. It's a lot coming up. Kyrie Irving set to lose nearly $900,000 for violating the league's coronavirus protocols. The NBA fined him $50,000 for violating the protocols. After the completion of an investigation of Irving at a family birthday party that had been circulated on social media. Additionally, he's going to forfeit the salary for the two games he missed during his 5-day quarantine, which ends January 16th. According to Bobby Marks of ESPN, he will lose $816,000 for the two games that he missed. And if he continues to test negative for COVID, he's expected to play for the Nets against the Magic on Saturday. Guys, that's the first word we've heard in 2 weeks.
No, I think he's going to miss that game.
Well, that according to Woj, he was expected to play. Tomorrow? Now, maybe that's just
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe they mean expected to be able to play. So I guess we'll have to see. And last thing, guys, James Harden, officially a net. But he finally spoke a bit about what happened and how things ended, if he had any regrets about the end of his time with the Rockets.
I regret because I'm not the type of guy to, I don't need the attention, especially the negative energy, the negative attention. Like, I've never been that guy. There were some things, and I felt like out of my character, but the ultimate goal was to get somewhere, you know, where I can compete, and here I am in Brooklyn. I have nothing but love and respect for that organization, that city, and everything that they've done for me and my family. Much respect.
And lastly, Jimbo asked about how he'll get along with Katie and Kyrie on the Nets.
Chemistry, sacrifice, and like you said, we're all elite, you know, so depending on the game, depending on, you know, what's going on throughout the course of the game, that's going to determine who gets the ball and who makes the plays. We're all unselfish, we're all willing passers, and we play basketball the right way, and that's all that matters.
And there
Malika
you have
Andrews
it.
Has a story out on ESPN. He is, Kyrie is not playing tomorrow.
We know that he's
80. He'll miss his sixth consecutive game.
Even though his COVID suspension would be ending.
It ends after tomorrow.
After tomorrow. Okay.
Right.
Cool. Thank you for clarifying, Michael Kay, with help from Malika Andrews. You guys reported that together.
No, I read that earlier. I just wanted to make sure.
Thank you very much for clarifying. That will do it for ENN on this big football Friday in New York.
You didn't have the story about Carl Anthony Towns, right?
No, I didn't have the cat story.
This is he has tested positive for coronavirus. Remember, he's gone through so much. He lost his mom from COVID back in April. So Carl mm-hmm. Anthony Towns now has tested positive for coronavirus. So let's hope for the best for him. And I was told further information on Kyrie. He is out tomorrow, not because the 5 days ends before the game. It's a team decision because he did not practice, so they don't think he's physically able to go.
Okay.
All right.
It'll be interesting to watch the next couple weeks play out for this team.
1-800-919-3776. Have a little bit of another clue that Deshaun Watson really wants out of Texas. We'll give you that when we get back right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.